Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, October 10th. I'm Ray Graff. John Fisher joins us today. And look, I'm not going to lie. I had no expectation there would be a show today. I didn't expect a 3.5-day fun drive. So I needed a guest. And who are you going to call when the chips are down? John Fisher. John is a retired prof from the Culinary Institute of America. He is an expert on wine, cheese, cocktails, many things. I'm not entirely clear what the topic is today, but he said it has something to do with gas station sandwiches or airline food or those automats that used to dispense food at the New York State Thruway rest stops. I don't really know, but the whole thing seems a little sketchy. Beggars cannot be choosers. I know it'll fit the hour, and that's a win. If you have a question about whatever the heck he's talking about, give us a call at 800-348-2551. Back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back John Fisher. John has been a food and hospitality professional for over 75 years. He has recently retired from the Culinary Institute of America after teaching restaurant and beverage classes there for 24 years. After graduating from the CIA in 1988, he managed some great Manhattan restaurants, ran successful wine programs, at one point introducing Martha Stewart to Flavor Flav, which is quite a notch in the old belt, began a new chapter in both of their careers. He's the author of the book Cheeses, Pro Kitchen Series, covers the basics of making and using cheese, and he's a craft beer ambassador for the New York State Brewers Association. It's always great to have him here, especially when he said yesterday afternoon that he'd do the show. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I have no idea where this is going, but, you know, you may want to call at some point. 800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. John Fisher, welcome back to the show. That is a very, very promising start to the show. Hey, man, thanks for being here on such short notice. The fun drive was ridiculously good.
It was great.
Most of the fun drives that I have been through, you're exhausted by the end of it. You just laid up and you can't do anything. This was 3.5 days, and our listeners were off the charts.
You mean like me?
Did you call in a pledge?
Yeah, I'm a supporter. I'm a what do you call it, every month?
Sustainer.
I'm a sustainer.
Do you want to learn how to be a sustainer? I still remember the script. No?
I don't need to learn how to because I am already.
You know what, man? This is, first of all, thank you for being a sustainer.
Welcome. I like the shopping bag.
Second of all, thanks to everybody who pledged in this fun drive. It's one of the greatest ones I ever, I recall, at least in the last 20 years or more. And fun. But it was over so quickly, we didn't have a show.
You recall the last 20 years?
Well, I mean, it gets dimmer and dimmer. Yeah, that's why I didn't go to the full 28, because the first 8, I just have no recollection at all. You know, when I called you, I thought you were joking. And you said to me, oh, yeah, let's do craft beer and convenience store food. And I said, yeah. Oh, yes, of course, John. Oh, how hilariously wry. And, my God, you actually meant it. Before we get to that, let's have a sip of something.
Right. This is one of the greatest lager beers made in the Northeast. It is Palatine Pils from Suarez Family Brewing.
Where's that?
In Livingston. So it's just south of Hudson.
Livingston Manor?
Is it Livingston Manor? Anyway, it's just south of Hudson, not far from Claremont. I can't remember the exact.
I love a lager,
it's
though.
Probably on the can.
You know what? Lagers are kind of an endangered species, aren't they? Here we go. Let's give it a shot. Here's to all who pledged in this fun drive.
Cheers.
Love you all. Thank you for that. That was great.
This cheers for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. Oh, my gosh. I wasn't hit over the head with hops. How delightful.
No, well, the thing is that, you know, lagers like this, you know, we grew up, the first beer I ever had, a first taste of beer was when I was 5.
Yeah.
It was Rheingold, and it was in my Flintstones glass.
And so your dad was Father of the Year that year, I guess, huh? Oh, good for him.
Well, Mets fan, you know.
You had to have the Rheingold. Bob Murphy would talk about the
appreciate
extra dry Rheingold.
and that wonderful song, My Beer's Rheingold, the dry beer.
Yeah, we can't do advertising too much, even for companies that are out of business. Yeah.
But
don't do the Burma Shave commercial either.
No. But that was the first time I tasted beer because, well, you know, half German, you know.
Yeah.
German, Irish, and Scottish.
What a terrible combination.
Beer runs in my veins.
You argue with yourself. It's incredible.
Stubbornly, yes.
Yes.
But the whole thing with IPA and hazy IPA, IPA has been the number one style of craft beer for, you know, well over a decade. But what brewers want to drink is this. This is what brewers want.
It's light. It's delicious.
And the thing is that a beer like this, there's nothing to hide behind.
No, what do you mean? The hops are it's a veil, you mean?
Oh, the hazy IPAs, you could put like a dead raccoon in the tank and no one would know.
Oh, I've had that one. It's delicious.
Yeah, it has a little bit of body to it. But those beers, that onslaught of hops is basically this huge, thick velvet curtain that can hide any of the flaws. So a badly made beer, you just throw a ton of hops in there and it will cover things up. And also a lot of the hazy IPAs, I don't mean to be bashing on them.
No, I like them in their measure.
Right, and I brought a really good one from some friends of ours. But they all kind of taste the same. And when we do the competition in Rochester every year. We
as
the New York State Brewers Association.
And you're an ambassador.
Yes, recently minted.
Tell this anecdote, and then you're going to tell me all about being an ambassador.
Well, there's not much to say, because it just happened yesterday.
Really? It just happened yesterday?
Yeah.
Did they give you a sash or something?
A scepter.
Did they?
I'm getting a scepter.
Nice for you.
With an orb on it. Wow. But at these craft beer competitions, last year I think it was 1,300, 1,400 beers.
From just New York State?
Just from New York State.
Really?
Yeah.
How does the economy even sustain that?
Well, we can talk about that later because it's starting not to.
Oh, interesting.
So the thing is that there are like 45, 50 judges, and we're up there at the RPI.
Fieldhouse?
No, at their convention center hotel.
Uh-huh.
And the company that runs the tastings, they do wine tastings as well. It's a well-oiled machine, and they roll in with these carts with 10 beers at a time for each judge with a little numbered sticker at the base of each beer. And so the first day we do yes, no. You approve it, you disprove it, you toss out the ones that don't belong. And then the second day is when you do the gold medal and the silver and the bronze testing. And so this is the second time the beers are tasted, but they're tasted specifically for specific qualities. Now, when we're sitting there in that room, at one point you'll be sitting there and you'll hear this group groan rise, and it's when people see the hazies being rolled in.
Oh, really?
And it's not that it's bad, because here we are, you know, we're tasting beer, but out of 10, one is bad, one is exceptional, and the rest kind of taste the same.
Interesting.
Because it's like this handful of, you know, a dozen. Two dozen types of hops that people use, and it's like they have a set of dice at the brewery with the different names on them, and it's like, okay, let's see what we're going to put in here this time, and they roll the dice and they put in the Mosaic and they put in the Citra and the other hops, and it ends up being like hopple warfare.
Oh, that's interesting. But the good ones are very good. I used to like, back in the old days, Titan out of Colorado, and I forget
Never
the name
of
the. The brewing concern that made them, but it was a very good. I think it used the Citra hops, and it was a tremendously tasty and clean beer.
Yeah, Citra were really hot for a number of years, and that's an interesting thing about hops. Actually, is that there are certain hops you'll see they have a registered trademark symbol above them, and those are hops that have been developed usually at one of the universities, and it's usually in the Northeast. University of Washington or University of Oregon. And it's kind of like this is going to sound like a weird example, but it's kind of like Honeycrisp apples. The reason they're expensive is because the farmers have to pay a licensing fee to grow those
You're
apples.
You're kidding me.
No, no. They were developed out in the Midwest.
So if I came across a seed or two and planted a Honeycrisp tree, then I would technically be stealing intellectual property?
Here come the popo.
Here come the popo, the apple po. You know what? On that hilarious bon mot, we will take a break. 800-348-2551. Sure, it's another slapdash edition of Food Friday. But you know what? We have to fill an hour. And by golly, John Fisher's here. It'll be all right. Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you. Almost forgot my own name. It's 800-348-2551. It's been that kind of week. John Fisher is here with us today, and thanks for showing up on short notice. Now,
my pleasure.
You were talking about the Apple Police and Honeycrisp apples, and you can finish that now that we're back from break.
Well, I was going to say, you said if you took a seed from one of those apples and you planted it, here's the problem. What grows on that tree, fruit-wise, is probably not going to be a Honeycrisp. Because apples are really unstable genetically, like with grapes, same thing.
Yeah.
So every apple you've ever eaten came from a tree where a branch was grafted onto it.
Ah, I see.
So grafting is the only way to get the same variety over and over again. So nurseries will grow the scion, and then they'll take off a branch and make a notch in a different new baby trunk and graft it and tape it up. And that becomes a tree. I remember when I was a kid, the Burpee seed catalog would show up, and they sold trees that was apples and peaches and pears and something else. It was like four different fruits on one tree.
What?
Which seemed like a miracle.
Yeah.
But it was just they grafted in the stems, the branches of those four trees.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Trunk.
So it's like the island of Dr. Moreau. You're coming up. You ever get sea monkeys? I ordered some of those once. Same kind of thing, you know?
There was actually one year, because I'm sure you did it from Mad Magazine.
Yeah, some comic book or something.
Yeah, you know, they used to sell the portraits of Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So I took some of my paper route money, and I bought some Alfred E. Newman portraits. I think it was like a pack of 25. And like 8 months, 10 months later, I got that edition of Mad Magazine. I looked at the ad in the back again, and it said, last year, we sold 25 of these. I was like, that was me.
Wow, interesting. Do you still have them?
No.
By the way, what are we doing here? I mean, we're all over the place. Now,
I have more beer.
Okay, but you brought convenience store food, and we have to get to the phones here. But why? Okay, John Fisher, you're a Culinary Institute guy. You retired from there. You went there.
I cooked at a 3-star Michelin restaurant.
You know oh my God, look at that. So you know a lot about food. You're not a foodie in the sense that you're a real snob. But, well, you're using a utility knife to cut a convenience store burger. So
Folding pocket knife.
Fine. You know, why, John? Why? Why this fascination?
It's not really a fascination. It's just I knew I could do it.
No, you told me you and your other profs went and ate sandwiches from gas stations.
Well, not the profs. The gas station one, and I was going to do this, but I was incapable of finding the ingredients, quote, unquote, at this shop. There's a couple of guys. One you might have met, Scotty Veltman over at Indian Ladder.
Yep.
And Ryan Demler up at, I don't think you've met Ryan, at Community Beer Works up in Buffalo.
No, I don't think so.
And they are fans of making bologna sandwiches from ingredients purchased at gas stations. So they'll find a convenience store at a gas station that has packaged bologna, whether it's Oscar Mayer or not, American cheese, white bread, and mayonnaise. And they love these sandwiches.
Okay, that's not normal, all right? This is not normal. Now, I'm a regular guy. Arby's is haute cuisine to me, okay? It's fine, but that's over the line, man.
Well, you know, brewers are interesting people. And I actually, in my career, I have spent time with winemakers, with distillers, with bartenders, with cocktail specialists. I shared an office with the most famous bartender in the country, Dale DeGroff, at the Rainbow Room. We were the booze office. And of all the industries that I've been involved with, brewers are the most gregarious. They care the most about their community. They're the most fun. They happen to like beer. And they are a community that is welcoming for their guests, to each other. They do collaborations where the two breweries will get together. They'll split the cost of the ingredients, and then when the beer's done, they split the beer and they sell it on their own. And you'll see cans that say made in a collaboration with. And like the big ones, there was one called Too Many Cooks that used to be done at Keegan Ales. You know, we missed Tommy Keegan. He passed away a few years ago. But 5, 6, 7 brewers from the area would all collect at his brewery. And the head brewers would sit in the same room and drink beer and eat pizza, and they'd make their assistant brewers make the beer. But this is a bunch of fun-loving but really sharp and hard-working people, because making beers, you know, you're a yeast husbandry specialist. You're raising yeast. And a lot of brewers are like former microbiologists.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Why don't we take a beer question? What are you? Oh, God. All right. What is this? We're not saying where this is from, but this is a convenience store
cheeseburger.
Now, full disclosure, my son, who has been known to eat a lot of burgers, he likes them from this particular place. I don't believe I've ever had one. I'm not going to say the name just in case I don't like it. But obviously you like it. 800.
Well, I didn't say I like it. I just bought it.
348-255. What do you mean? You never tried it and you're bringing it to me?
I'm trying it now.
You know what? This is not acceptable. Let's go to Kenny in Orange, Massachusetts. Kenny, you're on.
Hi. Hi, you guys. Hi. I like Anchor Steam and Anchor Porter, and they don't make it anymore. And I'm wondering what kind of beer it is. Is it an IPA? Has it got a lot of hops? And that kind of thing. And one other little quick question. Do you like Japanese knives and Japanese cutting boards? And I'll listen to the answer on the air if you want.
Sure. I mean, he brought a jackknife with him to cut the food. So why would he like Japanese knives and cutting boards?
Folding pocket knife.
I know.
Fine.
My, my main knives that I cook with at home are Kikuichi's. So, yes, I do like Japanese knives. Kikuichi is hard to find now. Misono is a great brand. Ninox is a great brand also. Gleestain, another excellent brand. They're all available. You know, they're easier to find in Manhattan at cook stores. But there's a store in, it's either Red Hook or Rhinebeck, called Warren Cutlery. They have a pretty good selection.
You know, we're all very impressed. All right, what else you got?
Anchor Steam.
Oh yeah.
So Anchor Steam beer is actually they legally registered that name Steam beer. It closed, but they're trying to reopen it. I think it got repurchased. I haven't looked it up in a long time, but the employees were trying to buy it back. What happened was Sapporo Beer in Japan bought Anchor Brewing, and they ran it out of business.
Oh boy!
It's a California Common is the type of beer that it is, basically centered on. I'm trying to remember the name of the hops. Hutch will kill me. Cascade hops.
Thank you very much. Well, how did I know that? I don't even know.
But the thing is that Anchor might be reopening. Anchor was arguably the first craft beer.
Yeah, in the 80s, right?
And opened by Fritz Maytag. Fritz Maytag of the Maytag washing machine family. The rumor was that the kids, for them to get their inheritance, they had to open a business that was successful outside of washing machines. And like one of the daughters started Maytag Blue Cheese.
No way.
And they have an award-winning herd of cows. And Maytag Blue is delicious blue cheese.
Okay.
But Anchor Brewing, it's a California common. They did trademark. That's the word I was looking for. They trademarked the term steam, so you don't find steam beer on any other brands because they'd get sued. Or maybe not, because Anchor was had gone away for a while. But I think they're trying to come back. That was one of my first beer brewery tours in San Francisco. And Natalie and I don't think
in San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we were married yet. Mm-hmm. We were engaged, but we did our first like trip to see how trips went as a new couple. And
I really love the dark anchor porter. That's just great.
Oh, the anchor porter is great. And you know, there are other porters you can find.
Yep.
Porters you can find. And there are some great, you know, porter and stout, which are essentially the same thing. Ask a brewer what the difference is, and they'll just smile knowingly.
Kenny, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. All right, what is this?
Okay, so this is a brown ale from Newberg Brewing, also friends of ours.
Okay. Where's the are they out of Newburg then, presumably?
You're so smart.
Thank you very much.
Get up pretty earlier in the morning to pull one over on you.
Right.
It's got Anchor on the brain.
Yeah.
So Newberg Brewing, it's a really cool building, former factory. I think it was a paper box factory. The views are incredible from their top floor, which is where the tap room is.
Yeah.
And they have a really good menu of pub grub. And when they first opened, it was interesting. They were going to make only what we call session beers. So they were going to stay away from super hoppy IPAs. This is one of the first beers they made. Now, brown ale is, I call it the little black dress of beer.
Why?
Because it goes with everything.
Oh, it's very nice. It's very nice. It's very light, surprisingly. It's good.
Well, you know, just because it's dark doesn't mean it's heavy.
Interesting. Interesting. And what is this and why?
This is their cheeseburger.
A convenience store cheeseburger, which, yes, by the way, is now just sub room temperature. So it should be delicious.
I just got it on the way up. Let's give it a taste.
You go first. Okay. Is it good? No, it's not, is it? Is it good?
It tastes like middle school.
Ah, you know what? Somebody else told me that is exactly what these taste like. Do I have to?
It's up to you.
Oh. Mmm.
Oh, that's a rousing, rousing let's endorsement.
Let's go to Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on.
Oh, Ray, what did he just do to you?
I got to tell you, Joan, this is it. This is the last show, so whatever. Go ahead.
John, how could you?
He needed a show.
Oh, gosh. Yes, we needed a show. Yes.
Okay, well, then I'm glad to be on the phone with you then.
What's up? Thanks for coming in for the fun drive, by the way, Joan. It was great seeing you.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks for volunteering. Good. It was a good time.
I had such fun. It was great seeing you live and in person. And it was a little bit shorter than I'm used to, so my neighbors are thanking you for keeping me busy for an hour. I've got so much leftover energy.
Oh, good
for you.
It was
very exciting.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, first I wanted to speak apropos Apple Pro Popo that you had before.
Apple Pro Popo, yes. Okay, go ahead.
I had to practice that one. That was fun.
Well done.
Bazoon tight.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to briefly share, before I get to my real question, I wanted to briefly share, just not get to the punchline of a joke because it does involve a beer jingle.
Okay. Well, you can set up. You go ahead.
Yeah. The setup for the joke is just a obstetrician talking with a couple who were disappointed in the single birth after he had recommended that they consume beer, or she consumes beer.
Yeah.
And when he asked what they had, the choice of beer, he said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, is the one beer to have when you're having more than one."
Schaefer. Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, when you're having more than one. I see. Yeah, that's Joan, I think you should practice that a little bit before the next, maybe the next after dinner function that you're talking to.
I was going to sing it, but I didn't want to get you guys in trouble.
All right,
fair
enough.
I really do respect my radio station. Hey, my question is, you step into a convenience store as a vegetarian who, like, as I said, tries a barbecue. I don't like orange dust on my finger, you know, when I'm trying to eat a corn curl or whatever.
Right.
You have to do your best when you get to any convenience store. So I just wanted to challenge Don. Imagine trying to find
vegetarian food?
Vegetarian food at a convenience store.
I could say this. After having this particular burger,
you're going vegetarian.
I think it's an option at this point.
Open a can of beans and eat it with a plastic spoon.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. Well, I just gave Ray some potato chips.
Thank you.
Potato chips are, I think, lovely.
Do these come over the microphone?
Yeah, I think it kind of did.
Is this bad radio?
No, I think it's heading for the Museum of Broadcasting.
All right, go ahead.
Actually.
Continue.
So I don't know. If you don't like orange fingers, just go for the regular Doritos, the original flavor. any sort of potato chip. I'm trying to think of what else.
Well, what about some of the pastries? What's a beer that might actually complement a cheap apple pie?
Beer that would complement a cheap apple pie?
It would have to be a little bit sweeter. I would say like a Helles Bock. So a Bock beer that's a little bit stronger, but it's lighter in color. And so, and a lot of the sweeter beers are dark. I wouldn't put a dark beer with apple pie. If you get the apple pie from McDonald's, it's that will just incinerate inside of your mouth. I don't know. I'm going to stick with Helles Bock.
Okay.
That's my final answer.
Okay.
All right, Joan, wonderful to see you again, my friend, and have a lovely weekend. Rest up. 800-348-2551 is the number. John Fisher.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
The next beer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is the Harvest beer from the Culinary Institute of America.
Okay, so this is your concern.
In collaboration with Plan B Farm Brewery.
Where's Plan B? Oh, Poughkeepsie. Okay.
In Poughkeepsie.
So what are we drinking? It looks like some sort of a red ale.
It's basically an Oktoberfest or Märzen type beer.
It's my favorite type of beer.
It's 100% New York State ingredients.
It's very good.
Which is something that Evan Watson over at Plan B insists on for all of his beers. In fact, all of his malt comes from Hudson Valley Malt over in Germantown. And they're good friends too, Dennis and Jeanette. And this beer was made at the Culinary, but Evan came and co-brewed it with Hutch. And this is actually from a can. We have a canning line at the Culinary now. So you can see how fancy we are.
Harvest Plan B, and that's spelled like a B, B-E-E, Farm Brewery.
Yeah, Evan was still is, a professional musician.
Yeah.
He actually did really well on The Voice one time.
And oh, really?
He's a multi-instrumentalist, though he specializes in guitar and vocals. And they have great music there on weekends sometimes. But he had a penchant for home brewing. And when he and his wife, they hadn't had a kid yet, but they were tired of gigging and going all over the country. And they wanted to settle down a little bit. So he started brewing at Captain Lawrence, which is now in Ossining. And he was apprenticing there. And then he started his own farm brewery in Fishkill first. Then they moved to they're on a 25-acre farm in Poughkeepsie,
amazing,
of all places.
Yeah.
Because there was a bunch of farms in Poughkeepsie, about 100 acres, 150 acres of farms, that basically fed the Mid-Hudson Valley for a while. And so they have their farm there. And he's famous for his farmhouse-style beers, the kind of funky-style farmhouse beers. The yeast comes from their own beehives.
But this is a German style. This is a classic style beer, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that farmhouse style is basically Belgian. Belgium's pretty close to Germany.
Right.
But this is a beer type of beer that I love.
Me too.
And Evan and Emily are just the greatest couple. And I think the brewery winter hours, they're only open Saturday and Sunday now. But it's a really cool place to go to and hang out. And his beers are, well, this is one of the more middle-of-the-road styles.
Yeah.
Most of his beers have a little bit of tartness, a little bit of funk to them.
All right. So this is an email. We'll take a break after this. This is from, looks like, Howard, perhaps. Shrimp tails is the subject heading. Can you explain why some restaurants do not remove the tails on shrimp dishes? It's annoying to have to use your fingers to remove them in, for example, a fettuccine dish. And what do you think about that?
I agree with him.
Oh.
A lot of cooks leave them on because they think it looks better,
yeah,
which is ridiculous. If it's a shrimp cocktail, you pick it up by the tail, you know. But if it's in the fettuccine, you're forcing the customers to get their hands nasty.
In the fettuccine.
In the fettuccine,
yeah,
you know. And so the there's a term we use in the culinary world, which is non-functional garnish. And that's the rosemary branch sitting on top of your steak.
What do you do with it?
That? Yeah.
It was, right.
Is it a toothpick? Are you going to try to eat it? I remember getting a pheasant dish one time, like 30, 40 years ago, and there were juniper berries in it. I was like, oh, it was like a multiple star restaurant. I was like, oh, I wonder what they did to the juniper berries to make them edible. Guess what? Nothing.
Oh, my.
They did nothing.
Ouch.
And it was like chewing on a pine tree, I chewed on one.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's not going to happen again.
Did you get sick?
No, I didn't get sick, but it was not fun.
Let's take a break here. This show has gone in disturbing places more than once, and I'm sure it will again. But thankfully, it's almost done, folks. 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. John Fisher is here. And the topic, I don't know. Vox Pop, it's a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you, and this is one for the ages. John Fisher is here. John is retired from the Culinary Institute of America, and if he wasn't retired when he started the show, they would have fired him by now. 800-348-2551 is our number. Convenience store food and beer. It's a combination that we've been waiting for years. You didn't bring any of the tuna sandwiches from the gas station, did you?
No.
Because, I always had a rule with my son, you know, if it was before noon, you could have one of the convenience store burgers, but he would often go in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you wonder how long has it been sitting under the red light.
You know, as long as it's in the safety zone.
Well, what do you mean the safety zone?
But, outside of 40 degrees to 140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. You know, bottom line is you ate juniper berries, so I don't really know if I should trust you now at this
point.
Not
willfully.
Steven Springfield writes, I'm a huge fan of cheese. Sometimes the cheese in my fridge gets a white, dusty covering on it. Should I cut it off, or is it safe to eat?
That's kind of a hard question to answer without being, you know, using opinion. Because what is the outside of brie? A white, dusty coating.
Right.
You know, so the thing is that, like, when I get the standard New York State cheddar from, like, Adams, and we call it appropriate cheese on our shopping lists.
Yeah.
I don't know how we ended up calling it that.
Appropriate cheese?
Yeah, we need more appropriate cheese. It goes on the shopping list.
You need a napkin?
No,
you got
some. No, I got it.
Okay.
And so I even brought saltines for you.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Thanks for this. Keep going with your story.
So anyway, okay. So the cheddar cheese.
Go ahead.
Cheddar cheese, when it gets little spots of mold on it, yeah, I cut them off, just like my mom would have told me. Also, like, you're more than likely to also get, like, those little hard corners from it being sitting out in the air or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do cut that off.
Okay.
But so many of the greatest cheeses they exist because of mold. So it depends.
I mean, and also, it depends on the type of cheese, right? If you have Velveeta and it has a thick white crust on it, you probably want to.
Run, don't walk.
Yeah, you don't want that. This email from Pamela. Congrats on the fun drive, and thank you, Pamela. And a nice meeting you at the remote in October at the Hart Clewitt. I'm wondering if Ray has a rating system for the various cuisines he's exposed to during Food Friday. For example, how would he rate the convenience store burger in comparison with the sea urchin sushi?
I've heard his rating system, and he can't use it on air.
This burger, as much as I would never eat it again, is 5 steps above the sea urchin sushi, which was expertly prepared. But
prepared does not say anything about the original ingredient.
Well, I mean, it's sea urchin, right? It's eggs or whatever. Actually, Yeah, that was a terrible one. I started eating it, and I was repulsed. I mean, it just, the texture, it looked like cream of wheat, sort of seafood cream of wheat.
So it wasn't lobe-shaped?
I don't remember, but it was yellowish, and it was...
Because I mentioned that I cooked at a Michelin restaurant. I did my externship from culinary.
Here you go.
In 1987.
Yeah.
At Le Bernardin, which is arguably the best seafood restaurant in the world.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to get that job there, and I cooked there for 6 months. And I was actually shucking sea urchins.
Really?
Myself.
Okay.
With scissors.
Okay.
As you cut the bottom of the shell. I actually used to keep a pet sea urchin on my station during the course of the day. By the end of the day, it made about 2.5 inches across the counter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Well, this might be a slightly different dish. I know is that when I took a spoonful, and again, I'm on the air, much like I'm about to do with this convenience store chili and the meatball, and I'm gearing up for it. I'm eating the sushi, and I'm having a spoonful, and I've tasted, and just then, the guy says, oh, yeah, you know, you're eating the sex organs of the sea urchin. And I did a Danny Thomas spit take that you wouldn't believe. It was impressive.
Well, he was also wrong. Those aren't the sex organs. Those are the ova.
All right, whatever. It scared me to death, and I'll never do it again. All right, so this is chili from a convenience store.
Yes.
And you go first.
Okay. Where did I put it?
Oh, you need a spoon?
Oh,
you're, oh, you're
no,
not
I
having...
brought everything.
Hold it. You're not even going to have any.
Yes,
you
know I have what? Everything you... over here.
Okay. Because, look, you have a meatball here that, you know... And,
okay, I'm going to try the chili first.
This
right?
is the thanks I get for working hard during the fun drive.
The brown ale would be better with this.
Okay, here we go. It's the chili. Give me your Culinary Institute take on this.
Not terrible.
All right. I put saltines in mine. You ever see The In-Laws?
It's one of the funniest movies ever. Serpentine Shelley.
The scene where he's in the diner. That's not bad. That's really not bad.
It needs hot sauce.
Alan Arkin is eating chili. He's completely traumatized by all the events. And Peter Falk says, how's the chili? It's a little greasy, but not too bad. Shell, eat your chili. That's not too terrible at all. Okay?
Yeah, it needs hot sauce. They didn't have any packets of it there.
And then the meatball.
Oh, I need to try meatball.
And so the meatball is, what do you think, circa 2 days ago?
I don't know. They keep it, like I said, outside of the danger zone.
How do you know? What, do you have a thermometer? What are you eating now? The chili still or the meatball?
No, I'm trying a meatball.
All right. Okay. Not bad.
I think the chili's better than the meatball. You put one of those meatballs on a hero, melt some cheese on it.
Okay. I would eat the meatball. I would. I'm not, but I would. This email from James. John. No, James. I had two. I'm burnt out on the hazy IPAs. 10% of my body mass is Treehouse IPA. Talk about New Zealand style. Also, thank you for the Tommy Keegan shout out. I'm a dedicated member of the Keegan Army. We're running a club started by Tommy himself. He is greatly missed, but his legacy lives on. Cheers, shaken, not stirred. And that's from James.
Tommy was one of the funniest and sweetest people.
A legend, really. A legend, yeah.
And they've created a community in Kingston. It's interesting because when I first came up from the city to teach at the culinary, Keegan Ales was it was the first craft brewery in the style of the breweries that we have now up here. And
now what year?
Oh, I started at culinary in 2000, and so it was the early 2000s. The Mother's Milk Stout made it to every good restaurant in the
really?
Area. If a restaurant in the area had a craft beer, it was Keegan Mother's Milk Stout. And that's a stout that's made with lactose, hence milk,
right.
Milk stout. But that beer, such a great beer. And I think Hutch, he's the head brewer at Culinary, Hutch Kugelman.
He was on the show with us.
He's been once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to drink. Fridays are tough for him because now he's teaching the class that I'm not teaching anymore.
Ah.
I used to teach lectures. And he did the labs in the brewery.
Yeah.
He's doing the whole thing himself
okay.
now. So it's hard to get him up here on Fridays. But that said, he was there not long ago, and he said that it's just, you know, he's kicking along. You know, his Tommy's widow Lisa is great, and they have a great loyal clientele. I haven't seen the beers on shelves much lately, yeah. but that's actually not that bad a thing for a small brewery because you make more money selling it yourself.
Interesting, yeah.
Because you're not losing all the overhead top. Down.
This is very grapefruity. What am I drinking here?
So this is a hazy from Industrial Arts Brewing.
This has the Beacon. Citra hops?
Probably.
It tastes like grapefruit, man. And the nose is of grapefruit.
I mean, if Jeff Wenzel is listening, he can call in and tell us what the
hops.
Well,
he's been on, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I brought Jeff up. But this is their number one selling
It's
beer.
Very good.
It's like 70% of their sales. And it's a hazy IPA called Wrench. And Industrial Arts, Wrench.
Gotcha. That doesn't hit me over the head with the hops. I think it's well-balanced brew right there. So that's very good.
Well, you know, their competition, and they sell a lot more hazy, is Sloop. That's over in East Fishkill. It's interesting that there's like three breweries along 84. They're all friends of ours. Sloop in East Fishkill, Industrial Arts in Beacon, and Newburg, you can guess.
Uh-huh.
And they all kind of have their specialty. Newburg, their tap room events is their big deal. The beers are great,
yeah.
but they have like Latin salsa night and things like that.
Yeah.
Industrial Arts, they are in a kind of an industrial building, and their beers are just fantastic. And Sloop is the house that Juice Bomb built.
Ah, Juice Bomb, yes. I know of that one as well. Let's grab a call here. John Fisher's our guest. I can't really give the topic of this show in a couple of words, so just whatever it is, it is. Carol in Chatham, you're on.
Yes, hey, it's the Barefoot Dancer.
Hey.
I was on once before and we got disconnected.
I'm sorry. You're on now. Oh, she's disconnected?
Yes.
No, you're still there. Good.
We did. I just wanted to say congratulations for the fundraising.
Thank you.
And it's because of the authenticity that we feel as listeners here. And with this, you know, seafood cream of wheat, I am laughing out loud.
It's true, though. That was true. It was.
Ray wasn't laughing.
No. Well, I've got through it, though, you know. So, but I got to say, it was honest. And you know what? Some people like that stuff, right? So do you like that, Carol?
Well, no, I don't. No, I'm more of a veggie You're thing a going on these
Yeah,
days.
Good for you. That's good. That's after what I've seen today. I you know, I'm with you on this. So anyway, what's up?
Well, they recently told me I had high cholesterol. So
hey, Carol. Carol.
Dairy. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if you got cut off last time because of the connection. But if you're on a cell phone or mobile phone, just turn 45 degrees. You're cutting in and out, and sometimes it's just the angle.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
sounds good.
Now?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Sounds great.
Ah, I see. Okay, so yeah, they told me I had high cholesterol for the first time in my life, and I had absolutely no idea. I was just slathering mayonnaise and butter on everything. But now that I've turned more veg, I have a lot of fun cooking, you know. And so I do use apples, though, frequently. Apples, raisins, carrots. I do a lot of root vegetables this time of year.
Yeah. Did we lose you again?
No, you didn't. I'm right here. I'm listening. But
oh,
really,
good.
I just called to say that it is you. It's the authenticity that we feel. It's the truth with the humor and that is getting us all through this. And that's why the fund drive was so successful easily, because we cannot live without you.
You know what?
We would be we're hanging on by a thin thread here.
Carol, I want you to relax and take a deep breath. We're going to be okay. And by the way, what you said was just very, very nice. And this was a great fund drive. And we're trying to sort of figure out, wow, I think it was a confluence of events.
How'd we do that?
Yeah, how'd we do that? I think you're right, Carol. There was a certain part of the atmosphere in the entire country, and then there's a certain part of our listeners who were just, they stood up and said, you know what? I don't really care if the federal funding's gone. We have your back. And it was a beautiful thing. And, you know, that's a nice call and a beautiful way to wrap it up here, Carol. You want to put a bow on it?
Absolutely, indeed. And I was moved as well as all of us are. And as long as you guys keep the round table going, we know that we can get some truth and hang in there and try to not be afraid. You know, the fear is what is impacting so many people. And in strength, you know, there's numbers in strength. There's strength in numbers. And so with you uniting us with, you know, your integrity and, you know, it's just the empathy is real and we can feel it coming through the airwaves. So with that, I will leave you and thank you again. Appreciate your hard work all the time.
Mwah. Carol, thank you so much and appreciate that call. John Fisher, you see, someone does love us. Someone does.
Well, I can't call myself part of us.
Well, you're a hater. I mean, after all, you brought me a convenience store burger. I mean, geez.
But I just sent the potato chips over to make up for it.
Actually, this was quite delightful. It was great.
Ray?
Next time you come up. Yeah. Oh, what's this beer?
So this is called Fonio Rising. This beer is fascinating.
Oh, I've had from this brewery before.
It's Brooklyn Brewery.
Yeah, very good.
And it's made with a grain called Fonio. It's an African grain that will grow without any human intervention. It doesn't need watering. It doesn't need fertilizer. It doesn't need rows plowed and furrowed. It will grow all over the place in Africa. It was replaced by European crops during colonization.
Why would they do that if this was so easy?
Because they were jerks.
Ah.
The colonizers wanted their wheat and corn and stuff and when they took over. So they ripped out the Fonio, and there's a movement to bring Fonio back. The head brewer, Garrett Oliver, at Brooklyn Brewery is working with some farmers over in Africa. There are also some people who are starting to sell it here. It's really interesting. It looks almost like cornmeal that's ground for polenta.
Mm-hmm.
They're really tiny. It's smaller than quinoa, and it is being used in a number of beers they're making. Because it's totally sustainable and very easily so. It's not always that easy to brew with because it can kind of gum up the works because it makes a kind of almost like a paste. But the Fonio beers, more people are starting to use it. Hutch did make a beer with it last year.
It grows around here too? You can grow it anywhere?
I don't know. If there's anybody out there who knows a Fonio will grow.
So this is an African grain.
It's an African grain.
Interesting.
That is being brought back there because it just makes sense. So Fonio, Fonio. And this beer is called Fonio Rising.
It's very tasty. Now, it has an interesting flavor. I wonder, is it the Fonio or the particular hops they use? It almost
Of it is the Fonio flavor.
It reminds me of a breakfast cereal, the smell.
Yeah. And I think Hutch said it can have like the smell of fennel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said that. But there, it is a project that Brooklyn is working on. Brooklyn is the main contributor to the brewery at the Culinary. They give money every year, but they're also great because they come up, they talk to the students. Eric Ottaway, the CEO, was just there yesterday.
Yeah,
it's Fonio is a really interesting thing to start watching because of both its use and usefulness as well as being really good for the environment.
Well, John Fisher,
yes.
Sadly, this rollicking hour that we have, what the heck was that? It's done now. Man, thank you for bailing me out here.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
You know, and again, we could probably skip the convenience store stuff next time you bail me out.
Oh, I'll never do it again.
Yeah, that was cool, man. Hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for your sustaining membership. And appreciate it. Now it's almost time to call it a week. Support comes from Shedman, offering sheds, garages, gazebos, and horse barns for nearly 40 years. Set up and delivered. Inventory at Shedman.com. Clock Estate, Hudson, New York, an earth-to-glass brandy distillery and destination that features tours, tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the northern Catskill Range. Clock-Estate.com. And Sapbush Hollow Farm-to-Table Cafe in Schoharie County, 50 minutes from Albany with EV charging, open Saturdays 9 to 2 through November, sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. Once again, thanks to the great John Fisher for being here. always great to see him. And again, he bailed us out here when we had no show booked. Thank you, everybody who made a pledge in this fun drive. You were fantastic. We had so much time, so much fun being with you over those 3 days. And, you know, we'll see you Monday.